Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Hey, Star Party listeners, welcome back. This is Sandy. Bessie, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. Still here.
Oh, man. All right. So we are unofficially starting a new season of Star Party. Woo-hoo. We don't really do seasons, but to us, it's a new season with a new theme. We like to refresh the party vibe so we don't get bored.
Yeah.
So should we surprise listeners as we go, or should we tell them a little bit about what we're going to do today?
I don't know. I guess we can give sort of some light framing that we are touching in with the themes of the particular overarching sign of the astrological season. So in this case, Virgo. But again, we're not doing anything too time specific. We're checking in with where we are with the archetype, and we're going to have some little special treats being revealed that may be of interest to you as we go along, because they will invite you as the seasons pass through the course of the year into potentially joining the party in a more active way.
Ooh, that was very well said.
Sneak peek.
So I wanted to ask, I mean, do you do any public speaking, Bess? You should just like speak off the cuff. Like, I mean, that's what we're doing on this podcast. Yeah.
I don't know. My Leo moon in the 10th house, just working its dharma or whatever. Doing the good dharma.
Oh, man. That's so good. So let's begin by talking a little bit about Virgo. Any thoughts you want to share?
Well, as you know, Sandy, as it's hard to not know, I serve at the pleasure of Virgo as an astrologer. There has been just, this archetype has just been such an omnipresent and omnipotent one in my own practice over the years. And, you know, I think when we checked in around this time last year for our Virgo episode, we were speaking a lot about surrender and submission and supplication and seasonality, all these serpentine little S's, and the idea of devotion. And, you know, I was recounting kind of my experience going through this crazy body time and, you know, submitting in different ways to seasonality. And it's interesting, the kind of like vibe of Virgo energy, as it's, you know, these archetypes are always changing and representing to us, came through really strongly to me the other night when I was dreaming. And I had this dream, I don't remember all the particulars of it, but it was essentially about a giant spider web. And ooh, spider webs and spiders, I find actually, like, I often forget this, but they're actually a symbol that comes through a lot in my dream life. And they're something, you know, if I think about my own associations with them, it was something when I was young, I was like a super bug lover kid, and I especially loved spiders. And I remember whenever there'd be a spider web, like in the house or in my room, I would be really resistant to my mom like beating it down or taking it away. I would really want the spider to be able to install and have its work, you know, up to a point. Obviously, my mom would kind of let that be. But anyway, I had this very vivid dream the other night about a spider web. And then I woke up and I went to my writing desk where I've been just like kind of intensely having at it every day. And there was a tiny spider in reality right next to the desk. And it's still there right now. It's been there for days, like just attending, like, you know,
wow.
And it hasn't started weaving anything or anything like that, but it's just been watching. And so this is all to say that I think the energy that's really been coming through for me with Virgo lately is both this deep internal production that happens. Like the idea, I mean, I knew this intellectually, but like when I was reading about spiders the other day, I'm like, God damn, like the silk like comes out of their body. Like it's like, yeah, they're making this internally and it's like coming out. It's like if we were to like cough up something, and it's like to make this big apparatus out of our own bodies. And of course, you know, we do this as humans, like we think about the physical birthing process, or we think about all these like invisible ways in which we bring things out into the world. But I couldn't really think of, you know, too many things like akin to actually like this process of like producing this thing through the body that like leaves this trail and creates this apparatus. And so I was thinking a lot about the idea of the internal coil of Virgo. And we can even see this in like the little bend of the glyph and the little, you know, little swoop of that little leg or knee or whatever it is that's crossed in the Virgo symbol. And I also feel like I've been like almost maybe just because I've been listening to a lot of Beyonce's latest album and she's a Virgo sun with a Scorpio moon. I've been thinking a lot about the conversation between those two signs and the coil of that energy and that kind of idea of latency or a charge that builds over time and that's kept unto the self, that's held. And then the other thing I've been thinking of a lot has been just the idea of time and the idea of waiting, you know, this idea of knowing the right time and the right timing. And I think for a long time, I thought about the energy of Virgo as seasonal responsiveness and as a lot more maybe focused on the external or supplicating or submitting to the external. But lately, I've been thinking of it as almost like this master, mistress, non-gendered way of expressing that term of time itself, of like holding time until it is time. And there's this quote, I forget who it is. It's some great thinker, philosopher, whatever, about all of nature waiting for the right time without waiting. And it's kind of like that feeling of like knowing this moment through attention, through like particularity of attention. And the last thing I'll say about it, and I was thinking a lot about like spidey sense, the term spidey sense. Like, I don't know a lot about Spider-Man, like as a figure, but I was thinking about spidey sense and what that means. And then lastly, I'll say that, you know, I think for me, working with this energy, I've always had kind of this, you know, berated myself over the years, maybe for my dearth of earth. You know, I have all like mainly fire archetypes in my chart and yet they're tucked into these earth houses. And at various times I've like, you know, beat myself up a little bit for that. Like, you got to just figure out how to do the material world and live in the mundane and whatever. And obviously that's not, you know, all that earth is about. Earth is magic and alive. But I think lately I've started to experience my own earthiness or my own downward current through kind of my sixth house and through that Virgo and overlay and through the idea of attentiveness and attention to time, to knowing. And I find when I really, like, it's a lot how my intuitive knowing like happens in this world is through increasingly, I think over the past few years, this kind of keen sense of the right time and the right moment for something. So I know it's a bit of a diatribe. I'll leave it there.
No, it's awesome. I think what you're talking about is going to tie into the chart reading we're going to do.
Big time, quote unquote.
It's cool. So many connections. I'm working on a deck, an astrology deck, and my Virgo spirit card is attention. So that's really a cool, you know, just thinking about like, how do you just really pay attention? And it kind of ties into our Leo presence episode that we just did too, where, you know, when you're really, really paying attention, maybe time doesn't exist or it fully exists. I love that quote that you just shared. That was really cool. Yeah. And then my Virgo emotion card is, I'm trying to find for each sign, like a pair of emotions that aren't necessarily like opposites, but are somehow two sides of the coin, you know, because emotions aren't opposites. Like we don't, you know, emotions are just emotions. But so my Virgo emotion is fascinated and anxious. And that's kind of where I'm thinking about this sign right now. I get really excited at Virgo season. Like I get really that like strong back to school feeling where I'm like, okay, I can do it all. Like I get super fascinated in the actions. I'm like, I like my to-do list always blossoms and gets like super detailed during Virgo season. And I get like super excited for all the projects. But then that same current of energy quickly kind of pushes me into an anxiousness too, where I do things like I did this morning, which is just flushing a hair clip down the toilet for no reason. And like, what am I doing? What is going on? And it's just like this, I wouldn't call it anxiety exactly, but it's like this hyper intensity of thoughts racing. Like, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm paying such close attention. I'm so excited, but then it quickly becomes overwhelming and my thoughts are like crushing in on me. Is that Virgo season?
Yeah. And I feel like it's also like this funny, maybe I'm just blending these two like too much in my mind, but I'm thinking about your Mercury and Scorpio too.
Yeah.
That combination. Yeah. I love this word fascination because I'm thinking too of like, I don't know the whole roots of that word, but it must have something to do with like the fascinating quality too. Like I think about even like a spider making the web and like fastening itself and then the little bugs being caught and being fastened like to the,
there's
this kind of caught quality or tautness, you know?
Yeah. I love the spider symbol. It is like a classic symbol of creativity, which I think is interesting since so many of us have this, also this like fear of spiders, you know, it's like a pretty typical human fear to have where we're just repulsed by it, but it's also this like intense creative symbol where, and I don't think those are necessarily connected, but maybe they are. Are we like sometimes afraid of being creative? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I'm thinking of like, I don't know, maybe it's just for me and because I've been, I don't know, in this particularly dense time of like production of things that, I don't know, it brings up so much, but one of the things it brings up is like the end of time to me. Like the, like I was thinking last night, I had some really spicy times last night where I was like, wow, like I was imagining the end of my life, whenever that's going to be. And, you know, who knows that I'm going to be able to anticipate what that is, but like what the last thing I'll make is, or like, I don't know, just like stuff, like the idea of linearity and compression and, you know, everything. I think when we make anything, and this could be even like a meal, a moment, you know, like we have to face ephemerality and we have to face the obliteration of self in the coming of the self to the thing. Like, it's almost like it's very Virgo Pisces axis, I think, in some ways, because we show up in the specificity of us in a given moment, and there's the moment, and then never again, you know? So it's like, I don't know, it feels like Leo into Virgo, but it also feels Virgo and Pisces, you know, in some ways it's like Virgo foreshadows the end of the zodiac because it looks across the wheel to Pisces. Whoa. So it's like, fuck.
Oh my God.
You know,
I'm gonna have to just sit and think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Virgo as being like the last of these kind of like personally oriented signs as well. Like it is the obliteration of the self before you then move into partnership as well.
Right.
With Libra, where it's like, okay, I did it all on my own. And now I have to really compromise.
Yeah.
Now I have to start to find like space for you.
Right. So there's that holding, I think, that happens in Virgo because it's the last moment. And I think you and I have talked about this before, but it's the last moment in the wheel of the 12 signs that we have wholly unto ourselves. And so we become, you know, wed to ourselves in our particularity, or we fold in to know what that is, to know what that experience is. You know, it's why I feel like I so often associate this sign with like a solitary energy, not like Virgo beings as solitary or not in communion, but, you know, that there's something about this. Even if we look through the tarot, like the Hermit card, like for so long, I used to think of the Hermit card as like a pacing card about like timing. And I think that's still present in the card, but more and more when I pull and work with the Hermit, I really see it as like the question of like who you are when you were totally alone, who you are unto yourself, which is a, you know, it's quite a question. I don't know.
Wow. I'm just thinking about watching my baby on the monitor as she's like in her nursery now and like kicking around by herself at like 3 a.m., just doing her own thing. Which, you know, she's not necessarily supposed to be sleeping. She's just supposed to be quiet in her bed and she can choose to sleep if she wants to. But she's like, you know, this little being, she's 7 months old and she's doing her own thing, like having her own personal inner world, her own alone time in her bed. And she's totally happy. Like a lot of times I'll see her on the monitor. She's like smiling and kicking around in her bed, like spinning in 180 in a circle, like on her back, you know? But I'm like, what does she think about? Like, what's she doing in there? Mm. Where is she? Like, where is her consciousness.
Wow. I love this idea of babies making choices too. You were like, she could choose to sleep she could, you know, that's a really interesting notion of like, yeah, that like the beginning of the awareness of the self and it's, yeah, who knows? My.
Yeah. I don't know why it's coming up in my mind right now, but it's like, is there a connection? There must be some connection.
Yeah.
Virgo.
Well, and I guess also this is a very mundane observation, but like how often are we in a position to watch someone while they're alone?
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, I guess
exactly.
We do. Like when
it's
we walk
a little
around.
Creepy.
I guess maybe for some of us, we're in that position a lot, but I'm not going to judge. I'm
but
not
that's
judge.
What it is. And it's like she's building her own sense of herself,
right?
And how she connects with herself and like what she does when she's alone. And it's like really important for her to have alone time or else she like is not happy.
Yeah.
You know, she's not at all. Like she needs a lot of connection. Maybe we're all like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get back
all
on
right.
track.
Let's get into should we get into our big reveal?
We're super excited that we're going to start doing your questions online. We're going to start online. Oh my God.
Inside the internet.
I'm really present. I swear I am. My brain is really focused.
Down the drain with that hair clip where we all long to be.
Yep. So we invite you to send us a question. And I guess we should probably put a form up on the website.
Yeah.
I'll make it to do.
Yeah.
To do that.
So basically each season we're going to invite a listener, and this may shift over time, but initially we're going to invite a listener who's born under that particular sun sign. So next episode, we'll be looking toward the Libra archetype and our Libra suns out there. And we're going to ask you to pose a question to us. It could be a technical question about your chart, some aspect that you've always kind of wanted to dig into, but you don't quite understand. And or it could be a more experiential, emotional question that you'd love for us to kind of play around with and explore through the lens of your chart. And so we have a chart today from a Virgo sun listener. And we're going to, of course, like these are going to be anonymous unless you want to, you know, share your name and all of that. But we'll just refer to this person without their name. We'll also find a way to share that chart with you, obviously, like absenting the birth data from it, just like a little screenshot of the chart through the show notes. So look out for that so you can kind of follow along. And we'll just dig in and dive in and see what we can mine from this Virgo sun's particular season of magic.
Yeah. Beth, do you know, does this person use she, her pronouns?
She does. Yeah. She does.
Okay, great. Okay, cool. Right. So do you want to read the question? Or
yeah, I can read it. Okay. I think I have it here. Let's see here. Alrighty. Okay, so this listener writes, 2022 has been a huge year of reckoning for me. Big feelings of grief, lost time, and a sense that I've been on a long existential autopilot have all surfaced. I have a good life and a lot to be grateful for, but a part of me wants to burn it all down and reject so much of what I've built up until now. I'm having a hard time being gentle with myself through this. I'm inspired to make big changes, like move out of the country, find a new job, and part with a lot of material possessions. But I'm also terrified I'll regret it if I do. Is there anything in my chart that sheds light on why I'm feeling this and why letting go and moving into new phases is so difficult for me? What astro friends and forces might help me face the unknown and evolution with excitement rather than fear? All right. Biggie.
Yeah. Wow. What a beautifully written question.
Yeah.
I just want to add.
Yeah.
I mean, man, what a wonderful like level of self-awareness and like understanding. And I mean, I bet even writing out the question was probably therapeutic.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. A Virgo being, a Virgo sun archetypal being. So yeah, we're going to bop into this chart and listeners, you can pull it up if you're feeling fancy or just listen along and we'll see what comes up.
Yeah. I feel like you want to start. I'm having a sense.
You're having a sense.
Am I right?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want me to start.
Okay.
I mean, you know this Aries stellium.
No, I'm happy to start.
Yeah, go for it.
I have a lot. I mean, I have so much to say. I better look at the time and like try to keep this in a timer of some kind. Because like I could probably go on and on and on.
Bust it out, baby. Bust it out.
I want to see a timing for this one. It doesn't say. Okay. So there's so much going on here with the transits and the progressions, just to say, as far as her like current feelings, you know, she says there's big feelings of grief, lost time, a sense that I've been on a long existential autopilot. So it's kind of the current stuff. And I just noticed in the question that there was something in her question that felt more like a natal chart question, where she said, is there anything in my chart that sheds light on why I'm feeling this and why letting go and moving into new phases is so difficult for me? So that's kind of the natal chart. Like, why is this always so difficult, or why is this change? So for that part, I would quickly look to the Taurus moon that she has that square her Mars in Leo. So, you know, Taurus moon is known for approaching things slowly, liking to have a great sense of like control, a great sense of security in the choices and changes that they are making, and how they're kind of like rising up from within them to meet the changes in their life. So there's a kind of sense of like, I want to make changes when I know it's really, really time, because I want to feel really safe in that process. And then her square to Mars in Leo, her action planet, her Mars, is like, I want to like go and follow my heart. I want to go and have fun. I want to be where it's happening. I want to live in the big broad colors of life. I want to experience, I want to create. And a square can be a really, you know, exciting aspect to have in your chart. It can also sometimes feel like I'm being stopped, you know, how do I bring these two energies together? And so there can be a sense of like, I'm ready to drive for what I want to go for, and go for the party and go for the fun and go for the big experience, but is it safe? And am I okay to do that? And let me go check in now with my Virgo sun and like, do I have it all taken care of? Like, are all the details lined up, and is it going to work? You know, so that's like a all the time kind of thing, you know, that you would want to, you know, see and notice how you take actions and when it feels good and when it doesn't, and how you kind of like make it all work. As far as like the current stuff that's happening, there's quite a lot. So this month, exactly, like you're at a height of having your progressed moon connect exactly with your natal Pluto in your chart. So the progressed moon is like, what am I in the mood for? What do I feel like doing? So it's very emotional, and it's like your current mood. And every, you know, 28, 29 years, it's going to come talk to Pluto in your chart. And Pluto is like, let's let everything fall away and just stand in the void of not knowing, and stand in the void of like, you know, I know nothing about the future. I know nothing about the past. I have to release everything, and I have to just float before like a new beginning can start to emerge. But it's very intense, and there can be, you know, big feelings of letting go that you're trying to call up and like feel and grieve and like set, you know, little seeds, plant little seeds of forgiveness in different areas of your life. So the moon is putting a huge focus on this Pluto energy in your chart. And we could talk more and more about Pluto. Like, you have Pluto in the first house of your chart, and it's really close to Saturn in your chart. So like, doing these big changes in your life is something that you have experience with. Like, you have stepped up to the fire of change before, and it's probably been a really big deal. And you may want to examine what that was like the last time you did it, and how you brought it into your body with that Taurus moon. Like, did it feel like you got to make the choices? And did it feel like you were really, you know, in charge of those changes? Or did it feel like it happened to you? And, you know, how do you take your experience from the past and kind of build what you're going to do now? And so that you feel like you're making that choice, you know, and that it is your next step. So this will be active for about another month, this progressed moon on Pluto. So really, you know, just let that time simmer where you're just sitting in it. And there's so much more I want to talk about, but I will just say that the eclipses this year are continuously kind of hitting this moon and Mars square in your chart. So it's really bringing up in your life this theme of kind of resetting or rechanging how you look at what I was talking about earlier, which is like emotionally, I want to make sure I'm safe, but energetically, I need to like go and create an experience and live a big life. And so you're getting different moments throughout the year where you're getting the nod from the universe to change up how you do that action. So there was an eclipse on April 30th that hit exactly on this square in your chart. And that would have been a big moment for you to look back to, like read your emails and look at your calendar from that time and see like what came up then that kind of like reset how you're inviting yourself to like live a big, bold life, but also feel really safe in doing that. And then I always like to look at eclipses and see when they get kind of, when that same eclipse degree gets re-stimulated. And so there were two dates where that April 30th eclipse kind of got like zhuzhed up, which was July 20th and August 3rd, which we're recording this podcast on August 4th. So that was yesterday. I mean, unfortunately, I guess you won't be able to listen to this until it comes out. Oh man, that's too bad. But, but you know, August 3rd or July 20th might have been other moments where you're looking at what happened on April 30th and kind of getting more to the story. So that's a big one. Another date that you're going to have the same, your moon and Mars get kind of tapped on the shoulder by the eclipse is maybe a little, it's a wider orb, but October 25th and then November 8th. Both of those eclipses are kind of like going to push your story further along. So if you want to, you could wait for those eclipses to take place before you do make any big changes and just see what comes to reveal itself and see like, okay, maybe this is an invitation and now I feel ready. Or, you know, maybe it just throws the whole table up in the air and you're like, well, now I have even more questions about what I should do. But then as the eclipse passes, you can start to kind of put things back on the table and reset your place. So I hope that's helpful from my perspective.
Oh my God, mini reading turned beautifully maxi.
Oh yeah.
This is no, maxi. That's no maxi pads. No, now I'm thinking maxi pads. No, that's hopefully that's, I mean, like, now I want to book a reading with Sandy right away because I need to dive into some eclipse magic. So listeners, I mean, you know, if you're learning to kind of read charts, I think this is like a really a great portal of sort of understanding some of the ways in which astrologers look at kind of time-based events. And also if you're looking at your own, you know, looking at what the eclipses this year are sort of activating in your own chart. There's so much here. I want to start by... where do I want to start? Okay. So the first thing that I'm kind of noticing or that I noticed in this chart, and it's something that I think we've spoken about in different episodes, but, you know, obviously there's a strong presence of kind of the fixie gears, the fixed gear signs in astrology here. You know, we've got that Mars and Venus in Leo, we've got the Moon in Taurus, of course, and then we've got this insistent Saturn in at 0 degrees of Scorpio that I really want to kind of unpack a little bit. And so the missing leg, and this isn't a T square by degree, you know, but it's, you know, essentially these are archetypes that are coming into, you know, coming into this relationship with one another. And so the missing piece here, of course, is Aquarius. And so when we look at the energy of Aquarius, and we talked, I think, a little bit on maybe the last episode of the episode before about this idea of, some of the fixed sign energy is sort of gathering and bringing the presence toward, and then some of it was probably in the presence episode, and then some of it is kind of emptying out. And so writ large, you know, for me, there's an insistence on emptiness that's happening in this chart. And, you know, we can talk about that in a time-based way, but we can also just talk about it in this life. There's an insistence on, I don't want to use the word loss, but the idea of loss and lost and emptying and falling out the bottom and all of this kind of stuff, and a chart that's so kind of packed in with presence, with like the attentiveness to all of these different facets through the Virgo sun, with this Leo that's got its little paws pressed on the glass, with the Taurus that's sort of packing in the treats and got them stored in the basement, that of course the opposite insists, and the opposite is the emptying. And so for me, naturally, this person is likely to feel in moments of emptying or void space or dot, dot, dot kind of ellipsing of life, a good deal of confronting, because the presence and all of that kind of here-ness wants to sort of rush back into the mix. But the idea of lost, and what really jumped out to me in this question, was the phrase lost time. And for some reason, I couldn't see anything else in this question other than the idea of lost time. And so I was like, what is that about? And so when I started to actually look at the energy, and like Sandy, I was attentive to the progressed moon, and I was looking toward the fall, you know, which is also kind of a, with the eclipse energy that you've been tracking, you know, kind of a time for re-entry into some of these themes. I was looking toward the final degrees of her progressed moon in Libra that will move into Scorpio in the fall. And I forget when that is. I think maybe it's in later October or early November. I'm bad with such things. But that, to me, that progressed moon's entry into Scorpio, it's going to meet 0 degrees Saturn in Scorpio. And this is the meeting that has been promised for this person, I feel like. And for some reason, I got all in my whatever about Saturn in Scorpio. And all I could hear when I was thinking about Saturn, and, you know, Saturn in Scorpio, one interpretation of Saturn is, you know, a certain relationship to time and to the finiteness of life and to what we're going to do while we're here in these bodies. And when this time, when I looked at the symbol, and it's always different, of course, but when I looked at it meeting Scorpio, all I could hear was like, or see and hear was Cher performing If I Could Turn Back Time in that like crazy, like beautiful suit of hers. And I was thinking, like, what I actually want to invite this person to do, and like sometimes we would look at all this fixed energy in the chart or some of the mechanisms of like safety or control or whatever, and we'd say like, oh, like let go more, or like just go toward the Aquarius, or bottom it out, or just make the leap. But I was actually feeling, when I was looking at the Saturn and Scorpio, that part of the call of that placement is to take back her power over time. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to keep her own time? And then the other phrase I kept hearing when I was looking at it was to change the course of things, the self-determinism she has to change the course of things. And I think this is sort of like an invitation around maybe some of what you were speaking to Sandy, when I was hearing you speak about the idea of like the safety, but also the big bold, like how this person blends those two things. And I just had all these visions of her, you know, and maybe this is something she literally does, or just in her mind, of like finding what is eternal, like by both finding what is eternal in her own existence, maybe even sort of going through the archives if that feels safe, and finding like these through threads, these drum beats, these kind of powerful, repetitions. But also I imagined her in landscapes like that are eternal. I imagined her in like, you know, like ancient landscapes, walking ruins, and like all of these places where this Saturn kind of meets this Scorpio of this, like having a certain power, and it's not quite control, but like a power over the experience of time, and not in a micro way. And sometimes Virgo obviously can get into sort of a micro attentiveness around time and timing and all of that. But this felt like something, I don't know, like a lot of pageantry around this process, maybe, that she's been invited into, because obviously it feels to a certain degree like she's getting kind of like, I don't know, in her question, it didn't actually feel to me that she was getting like bumped around, or sort of like she felt like she was like at the behest of something else. It felt like she was still in the seat of a certain kind of pageantry and a certain kind of power, saying, I have the urge to make big changes, but I'm scared. Mm-hmm. Like there was a claim to that. And so something around that idea of connecting to the internal, and also like full body participation, was another theme that really came through for me, both thinking about her Scorpio progressed, you know, moon, thinking about that Saturn in Scorpio, and also thinking about that conversation that Scorpio and Taurus have with one another about a kind of like all, or, you know, maybe we don't think about Taurus always as all or nothing, but a kind of allness or a kind of totality. And like just the idea that to tell her that she's going to know when it's time, and her entire body and soul are going to be put on the line to go there. And maybe that's later this fall. Maybe there's some timing around that, but I don't know. These are just sort of like ruminations I was having about Saturn and Scorpio and ancientness in this person, and a kind of way of wielding time and staking a claim to time and her determinism to change the course of things, which feels also connected to her fire and awakening kind of that element in her. You know, I also kind of played around with her numerology this year. Like each year in the tarot, we can kind of add up part of our birth date, you know, and digits of our birth date minus our year, and then add the digits of that current year and kind of get a major arcana card that we're traveling through. This is a technique that I think was first introduced by Mary Greer. And this year, this person is traveling through the Chariot energy, which is interesting because it folds us back to the symbol of Cancer, which, you know, water element is not particularly strong in this person's chart, but there's a certain invitation around Cancer energy to kind of let the shells fall off or the things kind of exfoliate. And like, it's almost like if you've got like a drag, almost think of that copper tone sunscreen bottle where the little person's got their pants pulled down by the dog for some reason. But I think about something that's sort of like a skin that's kind of peeling off, but like it's still partially there, and that's okay. Like we're just sort of walking ahead. I almost imagine her like walking out of her past or whatever this is toward this change in a way that's regal, in a way that's measured. Doesn't have to be super Uranian or Aquarian or like blow it all up and change on a dime, but can be like a walking away from something that's almost falling off her back and a walking toward, which feels like it honors both the desire to make big, bold changes and her, you know, the safety mechanisms in her chart. I don't know if that was just like a total
trip
of my own, but some of the stuff
that's coming up to me. I mean, so many like incredible visuals that you brought to mind, and like there is a ton of power in this chart and in her. So you really painted that picture. That was awesome. It made me think too about like when you were talking about the timelessness of her, like she has her Mercury in the 12th house, you know, so finding, I think you said something about like finding the thing that's eternal, or like that to me feels very 12th house, and it feels like faith kind of, or like the thing that's eternal is your faith in something, you know. And so she has her Mercury, her way of thinking is kind of like directed toward like what is beyond the self and beyond what exists right now, and what can I have faith in and what can I believe in, and how do I match up my ideals, my spirituality, my intuitive sense of knowing what is with just everyday thinking. There's a lot there. She also has her Mercury at 0 degrees Libra. So we could go on about that. But I also wanted to, I noticed as we were sharing and looking at the chart, like her transiting Saturn is leaving her fourth house and moving into her fifth house, which does make like, as this change is, it's just happening now, although Saturn's retrograde, and I'm not going to take the time to go look at the ephemeris and see, but I'm guessing it's like maybe a month or two that it's going to be in the fourth house, and then it'll be back in the fifth house, as you said, kind of probably by the fall. So it's kind of a last little check-in with like, what did I need to learn and build and create around like my sense of home, and where did I feel limited around home? And now I'm going to tie that up, put a bow on it, like leave that lesson behind and move into a new series of lessons, which is the fifth house lessons. And Beth and I use Placidus charts, so we're looking at the Placidus chart. So these fifth house lessons that Saturn's about to start bringing you are about like, who are you and how are you going to be creative? And like, what do you want to, what web do you want to weave now for you? And like, based on what your vibrancy, what you're bringing into the world and how you want to kind of stake your claim or be expressing yourself. So I think that ties in with what you're saying best too.
Yeah. I'm really just like keen to kind of explore or for this person to sort of explore their own spidey sense. Because in some ways it feels like what's happening now is like there's an urge to kind of like pop out of time a little bit, you know, to kind of like make the change. But there's still, you know, there's still some sort of residue. And it's not to say like, oh, we have to like get completely right, you know, get everything right before we. And again, this is like a way to kind of look, and we can all look at this in our own charts. There's mechanisms like every you know, kind of polarity conversation. I'm not talking about the signs that are on polarities, but just, you know, everything in life, there's like, you know, sometimes we kind of get at one end or at another end of a particular kind of polarity conversation. And so there's always mechanisms in certain charts that pull down into safety and into comfort. And there's always other mechanisms and charts that ask for risk, you know, and ask for coming up and coming out. And so there's something where, you know, it's not that, okay, you know, because this person has some like dense earth energy, like you know, like everything has to be exactly right before they go and make the change. But like, you know, the kind of like ask to me at this point is like almost a higher octave expression and energy of Virgo, where we're not necessarily having to kind of be super attentive to the microscopic sort of machinations of this process and sort of the exacting quality to it, but it's more kind of almost blending that with the energy of Scorpio or even the energy of Taurus. It's just a really strong feeling. And then we move, you know, it's almost like to let, again, this idea of being all encompassed or all encompassing. And like to know also, I think that this person can make a really big move and then, and be like, go for it, be totally immersed in it. And then again, change again. Like there's sometimes I think this feeling with Virgo energy, it's like, or even Gemini, this kind of mercurial driven energy where like, what's the right tweak? What's the right, you know, like if I just do like this little thing and then we get this little thing, but there's a grandeur that's opening up for this person, I think too. So knowing that they can step forward with all of them toward whatever it is when all of them feels, you know, gathered to do that. And that, that's not going to like preclude them from then making another decision later that moves all of them somewhere else. It's almost like gather up all your stuff and then we're going to go to another place on the beach. And like, I don't know, it's like something I'm envisioning, like pack it all in. And then we go over here and then we unpack it and then we pack it all in. We go over here. Like,
it's making me think really strongly that you're tapping into something where it's possible that she, with her Taurus moon, if she's had to do this in the past where she's made like a full change, as you're describing, she may have like looked back at that. And if not, you know, just disregard, but she may have looked back at that, like, oh, I made a mistake and now I had to change again. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's an invitation with the Taurus moon to like, let go and say, no, I lived this thing. And like the decision to change and move full body into something new is not, didn't mean the last thing was a mistake. The new thing is just a new season, a new growth sequence. So it's okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And that there's like a thing there.
Yeah. There's something about the idea of full body commitment. And I think it's something that, you know, sometimes we might look at a chart with a Taurus moon and be like, you know, especially like with stuff, I mean, Uranus, it's a long transit, of course, but be like, all right, like all the Taurus people out there, it's time to blow up your life and wake it up and shake it up and sparkle and, you know, like all of that kind of dense calcified earth. But there's also like embedded in every one of these sign archetypes, like no sign, I might argue that no sign is inherently better at change than another. There's just different ways of changing that we are being invited to kind of like see. And I know like some people would argue, well, that's not true at all. Like obviously like immutable signs might have it easier than fixed, or, you know, Uranian energy might have it easier than Taurus, whatever the thing is. But I feel like this person's actually being invited to soften a little bit around the idea that they have a problem with change and to actually gain more mastery or more of an empowered feeling around the way their style of change. And the style of change to me that feels that's invited in this moment is leaning into that Taurus moon a little bit and just putting it into the conversation with Scorpio and the conversation with Saturn in Scorpio and the conversation with the progress moon that's going to be entering Scorpio and saying, I can let change be all encompassing. I can let it be full bodied. And that might feel exhausting on some level because I'm going to think ahead, or my mercurial aspect of me, my Virgo is going to think ahead to like, well, then what? Or then how are we going to do it? And it's like, take all of you there, go there, like go there. I want to tell this person wherever the there is. And then it's not going to be that the entire bottom is out of the life. There's going to be like a ground of the self that's come in to remind this person that they can change the course of things, and they can change it wholly with their whole selves. I don't know.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Change the course of things.
Change the course of things. All right. So to close out today, we're going to pull, unless Sandy, I don't want to stop the flow here.
Complete.
Complete.
The river is diverting.
I'm going to pull a few cards and we're just going to kind of see, I'm going to pull three tarot cards forward. And just as a way to kind of, I don't want to say put a bow on our conversation, but draw together some of these threads we've been speaking to on the episode connected to Virgo energy and connected to this Virgo being's chart, and just see what comes through. And also, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts, Sandy, as we pull them out, because I know you're a tarot queenie too. So I'm just going
to I'm a worker bee. What are they called?
Tarot tendril.
Drone.
I'm a tarot tendril. All right. I'm just going to pull out three cards here. Anything that wants to come through connected to Virgo energy in our conversation today. All right. So, all right. Okay. Interesting. all right. So I've got the Queen of Swords here, the Knight of Swords, and the Hierophant, which is the major arcana card that's generally associated with the sign of Taurus. So,
okay, can I say something really quick?
Yes.
The tarot tendril speak?
Yes.
Well, just as you, right before you're about to pick the card, I was thinking, like, just thinking about myself as usual and thinking about Virgo and how, like, my, you know, I'm going to call this a Virgo thing where I, like, look at my to-do list. I'm like, Got to do this. And like paying attention to these tiny things. And then I get overwhelmed by it all. And I just want to like throw them all out the window and go like, you know, sit on the floor or something. And as right before you pulled the cards, I was like, no, it's about like seeing what needs to be done, knowing what needs to be done, and just kind of floating through without putting too much of like a thought or like too much of a pressure on each one. And then you pull these swords, and the swords to me, without knowing that much, are about like clear thinking and about being able to like separate and say like, do, you know, think about it this way, think about it that way, you know, wipe all of these things out of your thinking and kind of like clarify. And so it's really connecting to the Virgo, what I'm thinking about for Virgo, which is like, how do I just look and have clarity at what these little, pay attention to these little things that need to be done and kind of just slice through without feeling like I'm in this spin that, you know, instead of slicing through, I'm kind of like just getting overwhelmed and verklempt and then kind of spinning out. It's about like this really decisiveness that I wouldn't really normally think about with Virgo, maybe more Libra, but it needs to happen in the Virgo or else nothing will happen. So that's what I'm taking away from these cards.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I do, Queen of Swords is a card that I associate often with Libra, and Knight of Swords I associate with, you know, others, all swords as airy energy, and Knight of Swords, the knights for me are kind of more the mutable. So perhaps relating the Knight of Swords to Gemini. And then of course we have this, this Hierophant sitting in the middle with Taurus energy. And, you know, it's interesting when you were speaking about the clarity, it's returning me to the chart of this person, but it's also like this idea that, I don't know. I think sometimes we forget, we get a little like muddled in our minds around Virgo being kind of a mixture almost of earth and air energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've spoke a lot on the podcast about air energy as perhaps more futuristic. You know, we've talked about these kind of different time. It's returning. It's kind of tying up this whole conversation around time too, like returning us to the idea, you know, and this is like not a fail safe way of thinking of these or like some, you know, whatever end all be all, but the idea of fire energy perhaps being very now, the idea of earth energy perhaps being a combo of maybe now and a little bit of the past, and then water energy being the past and air energy sort of powering us into the future. And it's making me think of like the call to separate Virgo back or to return Virgo back into its earthiness, like in this conversation. And I mean, not just in this conversation, but writ large. And I think we've spoken about this a lot, but like the kind of metabolic functioning of Virgo and the, you know, even the kind of like association we have with it, with like the kind of to-dos and all of that, like, I think there's a call to not be projective about that, to be really immediate, to be like really in the immediacy of it and to actually really like disappear wholly into like the micro. This is like where we get this idea of Virgo energy being the amplification of the microscopic, you know, all around mm-hmm. us, because it's able to see and then enlarge, you know, it's almost like mm-hmm. this like zoom camera of the zodiac. And so what we get when we really zoom is not something beyond and into the next thing. It's a total presence mm-hmm. with the thing that's presenting, which actually like feels like it invites the energy kind of to roll back almost into unfold a little bit into Taurus energy, which is of course the earth sign that precedes it. And this idea that, you know, the future is not really necessarily the question on hand of like, and I'm thinking back to this person's chart too. And of course, like there is this mechanism in all of us, regardless of our chart energy, to be like, well, then the thing, and then is it going to create this thing and then the next thing? And it's also making me think of her Mercury in the 12th house, which, you know, the Mercury in Libra, like would want to see that, it wants to see the cause and effect. It's attempting to see like, mm-hmm. okay, if I do this, then this over here is going to respond. But in the 12th house, mm-hmm. like I don't want to say you're shit out of luck, but like, that's not the invitation around that. It's to be able to wow. be like, you know, to sort of beam out the light, like, and it makes me think also of her Leo energy. I don't know. I know we're getting like a lot of threads kind of like folded into this right now, but I don't know. These cards are just sort of really bringing me into the mind of exactly what you're saying about this kind of like, there's a clarity to the energy and a kind of cutting away that happens in Virgo, but can the cutting away lead us to the veneration of actually what's here without it being sort of like a causality or a next thing or a futurity, all of that. And I don't know. And now I'm thinking about her Virgo sun in the 11th house and Aquarius energy, like all of this. I don't know what the conclusion is here, but there's something about the all absorption and the all encompassing energy of that zoom lens. You know, it's almost like to like make her decision, whatever it's going to be about the next step of her life, and then go there fully and like zoom in on it. It's like you choose the next place to live or whatever. Like you're going to move to another country, learn the entire language, you know, like do your Duolingo every freaking day, go and like eat every, you know, part of like the local cuisine, like totally like lose yourself almost in the decision that you've made so that you're so fully enveloped into the now that the futurity of it like inevitably begets itself from that. I don't know. Maybe we're just like losing our minds here in this conversation, but all of it is making me think of a different way of kind of like decision making in Virgo and a different way of attention paying that, you know, is able to like through the amplification of the zoom, everything else falls away. There's the cutting, and it's not even about necessarily continuing to have to sort or whatever. There's just like zoom lens, and now we're in it, and now we're going to use this energy, the Hierophant or the Taurus, to enter fully into it.
There's so much in this conversation for so many different, like for Virgos, for people with fixed signs, you know, 12th house placements, big Saturn, for the Saturn and Scorpio people, which I know we have a lot of listeners with Saturn and Scorpio. So I hope that this conversation is transcending, you know, the reading one person's chart, you know, to be able to transcend and like take something away for each listener into their own life. I kind of would like to know what people think if they find it valuable. So if people want to email us, BessandSandy@starpartypodcast.com.
Yeah, we're trying it out. We're getting loose.
Want to know.
We're limbering up in this new approach. Yeah. So listeners, grief, lost time, existential autopilots, big changes, timelessness, share. All of it. We're so happy that you
share.
Who's a Taurus with a Capricorn?
Whoa.
A Taurus with a Capricorn moon. So there's some earthy energy there for sure. Thank you as always for being present here with us in this space. And we look forward to meeting you over in Libra season. And if you're a Libra sun and you're interested in having your chart go famous to whatever degree, in anonymity or in exposure, email us and let us know, and we'll meet with you soon.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to ask a question about your own chart, you can do so at starpartypodcast.com/question. And visit my website, that's sandycitron.com, for courses and mini readings and regular astrology readings. I'll be doing one question readings on new moons and full moons. So sign up at my website, sandycitron.com. And Besmatasa's website is besmatasa.com. We'll see you soon.